I would like to get a few things straight to be sure that we have them in mind and know them. That when a form dies, as they say, the life in the form, which was Christ when it was alive, is still a life when the form goes by. So that the form is shown to be not the life. The form simply goes out of existence and the life continues. And I would like to be sure that that is understood by every person. That your form will go someday, but the Christ of your form remains alive because Christ cannot die. And when you designate yourself to be the form, you're mistaken. You are not the form. Call no man your father. Because your father was the father of that form. But you are the Christ. Call no man your father, for your father is the father. And that clarifies the statement. It also clarifies for us why we can never die. The only way you can die is to think that you are the form. And you're just not. The Christ is the form, and the Christ is the identity, and the outer form is something that passes away. So when you get rooted in the knowledge that you are the Christ, you've got your real identity. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in the Christ or not, you're still the Christ. Your identity is what it is. And you can be a heathen or whatever you want to be. You're still the Christ. And if we are sold on that concept, the knowledge that we are the one invisible reality, and then are further educated to realize that the Christ of you and the Christ of John and the Christ of Mary are still one Christ, even though you seem to be three forms, if you could see the invisible, you would see this Christ all over the universe as an inseparable substance. The one invisible Christ. And that's the miracle worker. And when we live in the knowledge that we are the one inseparable Christ wearing an outer form that will perish, that's accurate. And the outer form that we wear is our concept of the Christ. We do not have the capacity to form the accurate truth. We have the human mind. And the human mind is capable of just so much depth in its perception. There will come a day that Christ will open your perception. So just realize that I and the Father are one. The Father is the identity, and the Son is the Christ. That's who the world is composed of. There's nothing else in the world. There is the Father and the Father's Son, which is Christ, infinite. And that's the world. That's the universe. That's the real universe. But that is a starting base. There's no reason for any of us to lose control, because when we realize that is the truth, we begin to relegate decisions in our life to the inner Christ. When Jesus was about to depart the world, after having returned to it, no, this was before he returned to it. This was before he left, yes. He said something about, I've got to go now, and I expect you fellas to go with me and all that. But there's one of you going to stay home. Peter got indignant. Why was John being favored? So Peter got a little uppity with the master. He wanted to know. He demanded almost. And Jesus said to him, well, if I will that John stays here, that's all there is to it. I don't have to give you a reason. And that was at the end of the Gospel of John. And of course, the reason for his being here is the truth message had to be on earth, and it had to be deposited with an individual who knew the truth message. It was a further indication of the fact that he knew at the time that there would be communication between the Christ of Jesus and the Christ of John on earth, from the Christ of Jesus not on earth. And then, of course, the revelation was issued, so that there was a permanent record buried in nicely by the organized church of the ways of the kingdom, the way of the Lord, the way of truth, the hypnosis of man, the complete revelation was entrusted to John, but it is not generally known that John went through what you and I are going through. John went through being born into the Christ. He went through everything that Jesus went through. That's why when John remained on earth, he became such a light wherever he went, and why stories persist about his healing capacities and what he had done. John had found that he was not worshiping Jesus. He had discovered that the Christ in him was the same as the Christ in Jesus. And it was that knowledge that enabled him to find himself, to find that individuality which the inner Christ gives to a man. You may say, I'm the same as him then, if we all have the one self inside, but that isn't true. The infinite individuality given to each individual by the Christ is the only thing that makes for harmony in the universe. Each is given an assignment in some way that does not conflict with the assignment of another. It's like the pie is cut up, and when the pie is distributed, each gets a different piece. but they all fit back together into the one pie. The infinite Christ working the magic of the divine gives each of us an opportunity to live to the full. I mean, you cannot estimate what our capacity is. If we say it's infinite, we're accurate, but we must realize that it takes a long time for infinity to live itself. And that's why we give an everlasting life. In that everlasting life, there will be no repetition of our experience. It will go on and on and on and on. And it will never duplicate what we have done, because infinity is the law of being. When we were originally given the choice of a human life that dies, or a divine life that cannot die, we didn't know we were given the choice, because we had been born, we thought. But when you discover that birth, the actual birth that occurred in our lives, was the beginning of an experience that was all illusion. And to negate it now, to grow out of it, makes possible the movement into the next level of our infinite life. The fifth world is going to be that. It's so big that you can't do it all at once. Our souls have to be trained, and of course, we have trained our souls in this world so that at the time of the transition from this world to the fifth world, it will be our souls that make the transition for us. We have to learn, therefore, what our soul can do. The things your eye can't see, your soul can see. The things you can't feel, your soul can feel. Your soul begins on a completely new level of perception. What your five senses are trying to do are all done by your soul. Your soul begins to interact . You find that your soul is infinite too. Everything is infinite from this point of the fifth world on. But your soul has to train you. You have to learn the ways of spirit. And you may seem like a little child again. But all this is necessary for the retraining period. What seems like a little child in the fifth world of soul would seem like a grandfather's grandfather in this world. We have so much ahead of us now as we move into a world where there is no time. No time. No space. Not even energy, no matter, none of the things that we have been used to in this world, and only the Spirit of God in you can navigate in that universe. It's a totally new experience. And to some it comes at a time when they didn't know what was next. And even though you still don't know, you can release yourself to it with the assurance that when you enter that realm, you have passed all the tests you have to pass. Your initiation is complete. And that's why we're in this fourth world now. This is a sort of preliminary initiation. We're learning how to trust, how to drop our fear, how to drop all desire for self-protection, how to know that the invisible will always protect me. We don't know it quite, but we're finding it out. I'd like to read a couple of things that were on my list for yesterday that we didn't have time for. Well, the first one that hits me is probably the last. I was never born. Call no man your father. No person, no material being gave birth to me. Therefore, I was never born. And because there was no birth, but the appearance of a birth, there will be no death. There may be the appearance of a death. I was never born. I will never die. That is what I want you to know for certainty. Doesn't matter where you are, where this form has remembrance, whether this form is gone with the wind. You were not born because Christ was not born. Christ is called the only begotten Son. And that Son of God, this infinite Son of God, over the entire spiritual universe, one Son, is the only being that we are responsible to. And as we become more and more responsible to that being, we discover that being we are. Now, you don't feel like the infinite Son, but you are. You don't feel like God's only Son, but you are. Just remove the coat of flesh. And when the Spirit comes through, with what is called spiritual flesh, and you awaken to discover, I am the Son of God, the only Son God has. There are 50 of us, 5 million of us, 5 billion of us. I am the one who is the self of God. One infinite self. Quite a responsibility and a fact and a truth, something to live with and know. As big as it may be, it's you. And none of it is in the flesh, All of it is in the Spirit. One day now, the Christ within you will be in flames. They won't be flames that you're acquainted with. The flame of Christ is quite different. And in that flame, you will be baptized. You'll be baptized as the Christ. You'll understand what happened in the early Bible when the three were put in the fire. The man who put them in the fire was approached by a potentate who said, "I thought you threw those three men in the fire. What's that fourth one doing there?" The fourth one was the reality of their being. The flame of Christ is a perpetual flame. When that baptism comes to you, then you will discover that you are Christ. You may conjecture, you may approach it, you may feel, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, or I'm sure I am, but I haven't received the evidence of it. The flame of Christ will baptize you, almost as if to say, now do you know you are the Christ? Because the flame will not burn. We all have that to look forward to. And yet, it's already been done. When you receive the recognition of it, that will confirm what has been done. Things to work on now in order to remove all barriers to your further learning of the truth. Don't let time puzzle you. It must be understood. It must be solved. It has a way of puzzling. It says you were born at this date, and the statistics say I'm going to die at that date. That's time. If you could look at it and say, well, I wasn't born at this date at all. That was the concept of me, born at that date. I'm not going to die at this date either, because there's no time in eternity. If you can solve the tricks of time, the deceptions of time, if you take them apart, if you spend the time, let's say, one time a week or one time a month if necessary, working with time, puzzling it out, letting it tell you why it says God is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. Some of the Greeks had the knowledge of time. Plato had. Some of them had the understanding of the illusion. Plato had. There have been men in this world who knew truth. There have had to be such men in various parts of the universe to keep truth alive. And now you become one of those individuals. Maybe in the 50th century, they'll be looking back and they'll be saying, what about your name? She knew truth, or he knew truth. And it will be, because as you develop now and become a beacon for others, you have the Christ knowledge to give to them, to teach them how to be free of all the things that the world is struggling with today. And maybe we can end this seminar with a little teaching on how to handle situations when they appear to be out of control, whether they're group situations or personal body situations or personal emotional situations. If we have a ready plan to at least look at them in a different way, with a knowledge of their unreality in Christ, it will help. So if this is child's play for some of you, or if it's new to some of you, I would like to apologize in advance, because I want everyone to know what to do. And let's take a more difficult case, not just a head cold or a mistake and I go down the wrong street or anything like that. Let's take something specific that happens to an individual. Let's say that individual is what we call unable to function correctly. Something is wrong in the mental system, and the person is disoriented. And your problem is, what can I do to this person who's disoriented? Now, you have several ways of going about it. And we'll take the infinite way method of seeing that the disorientation is not in the Christ of the individual. So you know that basically the individual is the Christ, but the disorientation is in a different level of a human being who is momentarily disoriented. Now, you've got to recognize the identity of the Christ as the identity of the individual before you start your healing. Because that's standard. You've got to recognize everyone as the Christ anyway. So we make it a point that when this individual comes to you or is known to you and has this mental aberration of some sort, you're not fooled by it. The condition may be a threat to a lot of people, but not to you. It can't be. You are aware that this individual, apparently in a mental state, this individual is the Christ. Now that's true. Without knowing who it is, or when it happens, or what happens, every individual is the Christ. Now, as you stand in the knowledge of the Christhood of that individual, and you stand in the knowledge that I am the Christ, not because I'm borrowing this idea, or I'm suddenly aware of it, or I'm suddenly using it, because I have proved myself to be the Christ. I have lived inside myself as the Christ. The more you live it, the more you'll find the effect on the person. Now then, as you live the Christ, whoever comes to you is automatically the Christ. No one approaches you ever who is not the Christ. Ever. There's no exception. Now then, your Christhood, you can reach it quicker when you meditate, because that's when your thoughts are out of the way. You're in the vacuum of thought when you meditate, and therefore your Christhood, your light, is more available. It's not buried deep in years and years of disuse where the human couldn't reach it. So you're the Christ, and you know your identity, and that's all you do. You don't worry about whether or not this person appears sick or what she is sick of. You're not even concerned about the name of it. You just know that you're the Christ, and that's it. You let the Christ handle it. Is that clear? You don't do it. You've got to be able to reach the inner Christ of your being. So let's get into the inner Christ. And you know, if you start a meditation, the first meditation doesn't make you able to handle somebody. It takes a few and maybe years and years of doing it, but you get the flow running. And you can quickly locate a depth of yourself that isn't a normal daily depth. We'll say it's the Christ depth. And now this individual comes to you in the problem area of her mind, and your job is simple. You don't say to her, do this, do that. You're not even concerned what she does. You tell her to be still, give her something to read or whatever. If she's on the phone, tell her to be quiet. Tell her to just relax. And you go to yourself and you take who you are and you meditate instantly. And then you're finding the Christ when you meditate. She is the Christ. You relate these two. The Christ there and the Christ here, myself, are one. You don't even question what she has or what she doesn't have. You don't offer any help in those lines. You just get into meditation and know the Christ of her and the Christ of you are one, and rest until in your meditation something says to you, it is done, or you feel it done. You feel a jolt, maybe. Something communicates which says it is done. And sometimes you just rest there and rest there and rest there, and nothing communicates. Well, you stay there a while and come back to it later. But the point is, you're getting inside. But when you're inside, you're not just inside yourself, you're inside her, because she's the one you're working for, and the two are one. And when two are gathered in my name, which is Christ, there's the solution. It's automatic. Later she's apt to say to you, I feel a little better, or say, that was wonderful, or something of that nature. Or continue, I don't feel any better. And you try it again the next day, maybe four times in one day if necessary. Now, please handle anything in your life that way. Anything. Because once you get the habit of putting the two together, the Christ of me, and I'm automatically in the Christ when I meditate, and if I'm not, I better do something about that, get that working. And you don't be concerned about whether she had a leg this or an arm that or a hip that or a shoulder this. It's none of your concern. Your job is to just know that she's the Christ. That is all. And now you know that you're the Christ automatically, and you get into that Christ. You're dealing below the level of human minds, or above the level of human minds. You don't have to do anything. Just remain in Christ. Never forget that she's in Christ. You've got to know two Christs are on hand as one Christ. And that makes you a healer, but 10 years makes it better, and 15 years makes it better than that, and so on. Because then you're able to broaden out, leave less of the human beliefs behind, less of the karmic beliefs behind. The point is, that's how you handle things, and I would like everyone to know how to handle things. I don't know if there's someone in the next room who's robbing the place. Well, all right, get on the phone if you want to, call the police, fine. But no, no. Christ is in the next room, and I am in this, Christ in this room, they are one. Know that, and call the police too, but know the truth, always. If they, the race riot in your town, notice everyone is the Christ. Every single person. The man beaten up, the five fellows or four who beat him, they're all the Christ. I'm not joking, I'm knowing they're the Christ. Of course, I am. I go into the silence. You don't know what it'll do, but it'll do some great good. Handle every situation that way. Your son is doing this. He's the Christ. I'm the Christ. Meditate. Not to help him, not to get him over this hump or that hump, just to know he's the Christ. Let Christ get him over the hump. When you get into Christ, you see, the healing is all Christ, and you get to Christ. So I think that's clear, and I think it's definitely the way that you'll find many things that you couldn't handle before come easily, and you understand why they're working. You're getting the laws of spirit in motion. You're living in God's universe, not in this man-made universe. And you're starting to put spiritual law in operation. Well, that's off my mind, and I wanted to get it off my mind, because this is a wonderful class, and I'd like everyone in the class to know how to free themselves from many of the things that we have that stick in our minds, that just come from nowhere, and suddenly, I got this on my body, and I got that on my body, I got this situation. Well, yeah, all of that stuff is in the world mind, and your mind just picks it up like a TV screen. But you'll free yourself of all of this. And then before you hear from somebody, you'd be well to, every day, free yourself from world mind. If that's all you're ever attacked by is the world mind. That's the only thing reporting something wrong. Whereas if you get into the quietness and find the spiritual level of your being, certainly, positively have it, you rest in it, you don't have to worry about clearing your mind. The Christ will take care of it. You have released Christ into your life, and whatever is necessary will automatically happen. These are some of the automatic things that you do. You'd be surprised how much is taken in by us without our even knowing it. And then it grows in us, and before you know it, we have a belief. And it may be true or not, but we don't know it. And then our mind tells us that's what we believe. We have to believe what our mind tells us. And it's completely untrue. Our mind told us we were born. It's completely untrue. You have a mind that has lied to you. And you know it's not just about one thing. It's lied to you in telling you you are a human being. It's lied to you about so many things that can't be true because God says they're not true. So you want to get straight with yourself. You want to find out what I really am, what I really believe, what I really know. Did the things that my mind said happen, happen? Well, you think they did, because your access to what happened is through your mind. Your mind identifies the things you saw. And along comes someone who saw something else. He believes that what he saw is true. You believe what you saw is true. And I know that one of you is wrong. But it would never occur to you that both of you are wrong. Nobody is dead in this universe, but do you think anyone ever killed someone if nobody is dead? Who killed a man? Has there ever been a murder? There has been on the level of human thought. This one is dead, and this one murdered him. Now, they try this one then in the court, sentence him for killing that one. But suppose that one didn't die and isn't dead. You're sentencing a man for killing when the man he killed is alive. Well, there's no way to puzzle it out and make sense out of it. There's one universe of Christ, and then there's that make-believe universe we call the human world. It all becomes manageable by the Christ, but not by another human. And when you try to be a human, you find you will have to get into the same boat and ride with the same rules that other humans ride by. And they ride by this is good and that's evil. When you're in the Christhood, all you can see internationally is God's work being done. We're going to quiet ourselves and find the center. I can share whatever I know with an individual who's ready, who's been prepared to listen. And you can share too with people who are ready to listen. You find though that people aren't quite as prepared as you'd like to think. You'll think, well, I'll tell her. I'll let her know. And you do, but it perplexes her. She can't figure it out. You tell her, well, there's no time in reality. It won't sit very well if she's a certain person. You tell her there are no things wrong in the universe, it's just that we think so. That won't make headway. And if he happens to be a minister, a good, stalwart citizen, and you ask him why God permits all these terrible things to happen, he'll give you some stock answer. But we can't question the Lord and that sort of thing. So your truth is handled very discriminately. You bring a person into a place where they can find truth for themselves. It's better than telling the truth. And the reason for our meditation now is to let us all try to reach some inner conclusions. And one is that I want to find this invisible self that is going to run my life from here on into infinity. I know it exists. I want it. I want it to know that I want it. When it announces itself to me, and I hear or find some evidence that this self is a living self beyond the reach of all the impurities of the world, and I know that it is myself, and I know that it is his self, and it is herself, and every self, it is the one self of all, then I can resign my life to it. And I want to find the inner conviction to resign my life to this invisible self. Some call it the Christ. Some call it the light. There are many names for it, but none has ever found that they can lay hands upon it. It exists only in the invisible, but it moves the universe. That self is myself. I'm ready to give myself to that self. I want conviction. I want knowledge. I want the assurance. I don't know how that assurance will come, but I want it.